let's just go ahead and do that then. Amen. You know, I'd like to have a word of prayer first, and then I want to just recap that just a little bit. Father, thank you so much for what you have done in Christ. And in Christ alone, we have not only salvation, but eternal life and a place in heaven. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be anxious about the things that are going on in this world, because in you we have life and we have a promise. Lord, so we thank you for that. We ask now, as we look into your word, as we discover those things, we pray that you would encourage us, enlighten us, challenge us in our faith. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love this song because of all the different things that it says. You know, I mean, it covers everything from start to finish. You know, it talks about how, you know, Christ being our light, our strength, our song, our cornerstone, the stone, the solid ground. And then it says, you know, in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe. Now Christmas comes along, and the gift of love and righteousness, and scorned by the ones he came to save. So he died on the cross for us. And then his body laid in the ground, the light of the world by darkness slain, and then bursting forth in glorious day. And then it talks about, in Christ alone I place my trust. And then there's no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry, when the baby arrives, to my final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. That is huge. And we're going to talk about, you know, this new year starting. You know, last week I talked a little bit about that, but this time I want to really emphasize it. It's very interesting because if you haven't noticed already, in the last several months, or the past year even, not even that much though, I mean maybe 8 months tops, we've seen an awful lot of religious movies come out on the screen, haven't we? Not only, and of course Hollywood put their spin on it, you know, we got to understand that. But the movies are coming out that directing people to the Bible. They are. Because who's going to, you know, and we went and watched Noah. What can I say about Noah? You know, about the only thing that really was good about the movie was that his name is Noah and he's in the Bible. It was lacking in much theology and historical accuracy, but the point of it all was that there was a Noah and they admitted to a flood, a global flood. And we all know that's true, because we've seen evidences of that, even though the science community doesn't want to share about it. But in fact, there are petrified trees, and we know that, you know, petrified forests is there, and there are the trees there, and they say, well, you know, they've been in the ground so long they petrified and became rock. Well, that's all great, but you know, most of those that they found were laying on the ground. Well, they found a hill. And they've been slicing on this one hill, and they find trees upside down. And you can't get a tree to be upside down unless something happened to uproot it and bury it like that. And so, again, the admission to, well, there must have been a lot of water. So, you know, we find those kinds of evidences. But it was interesting as I thumbed through a magazine about, and it was like, I think, Newsweek or something like that. And it was a magazine that's kind of recapping the year and talking about predictions for the next year. And in a little corner of that magazine, up where there is, it talked about fear factor, you know, how extreme fear and a little bit of fear and, you know, and all that. And this one was up in the, you know, moderate fear category. And it said the rapture. And it said some believers speculate it's going to happen on September 23rd, 2015. Now, we all know we can't place a date, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But the point of it was, in a little square in this magazine, there was an admission that the rapture is a future occurrence, and possibly this year. You know, it in one way, kind of a little scary. In another way, it's kind of exciting. I mean, and we got to talk about it. So that's what we're gonna look at in this sermon this morning. So what is the truth? What is the reality of it? You know, we flipping through channels last night as we were filling out Christmas cards. Yeah, Christmas cards. We might get them done by June. I don't know, but. But, you know, here we're filling out these Christmas cards, and we're flipping through channels to have something on while we're doing the cards. And they're on the History Channel. The History Channel. There was a program on Revelation, on the rapture, and the tribulation. And we started to think, we thought, wow. Now, I'm sure, you know, it's going to be messed up. But it wasn't really bad. You know, the History Channel had this, you know, from the rapture on, and they were flashing up scripture verses on the screen, talking about, you know, darkness would cover the earth, or the asteroids and one wormwood striking the earth and poisoning a third of the water, and the water turning to blood, and all that. And they're flashing these scriptures up on the screen. And I thought, wow. And then they were going through the horrificness, you know, that how people were so terrified living, you know, with basically nothing because gasoline became scarce because the supplies were running out and it was really, really expensive. We think $2.29 or $3 or $4 is expensive. They couldn't even buy it. And then the scared parents because children were gone. Children were gone because, you know, little ones that don't have that ability to make the choice, they're going to be raptured. And so parents were running all over. Where's my children? Where's my children? Can you imagine the daycares? And places like that, and just, kids are gone. Oh my gosh, we're going to be sued. Right? You know, the things that would happen that we just don't think about, and the devastation, the economy is going to collapse. And so we need to really get a handle on this and discover some things about it. And so Matthew 24 is, you know, where I'm going to actually go. 1509 in your pew Bibles, 1509, Matthew 24. And the reason I want to go there, and we're going to linger there a little bit, is because Jesus is sharing this. And so if anybody should know, Jesus should. And so we're gonna look at a few things. First thing I want us to look at is verse 14, because I want us to understand that the things that are happening now are fulfilling Bible prophecy. In verse 14 it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So, the gospel has got to be spread out. Kathy said a very interesting thing. This revelation, this end of times show is on the History Channel, nationwide, worldwide channel, you know, satellite. It's being broadcast all over the world. People are hearing and seeing that there's something coming. And maybe it's just believers that believe this, but there's a lot of other people, their interest is going to go, what? Because in this show, you have a lot of people going, wait a minute, you know, what happened? And somebody else will say, well, you know, I've heard about it in church. Couple times I went there, that there was going to be a rapture, that people were just going to disappear, but I never thought it was real. And they're going to, and the response was, oh, no way, come on, there's got to be another explanation. And that's what's going to be going on in the world during this time. But the gospel is going to be preached throughout the world. And it's happening. These movies may not be the explicit and detailed gospel, but they're directing people's attention to the Bible. They're sharing things that people... I mean, there was movies we went to, A Matter of Faith was one of them. God's Not Dead was another one. You can't ignore the gospel in those movies. They're flat out right there with the gospel. Now, Verses 1 through 14 is what I want to read. So let's read that. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all of these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we get a real good synopsis, real overview of this. And we look at the turmoil right now going on. The Middle East is going nuts. Middle East right now is, there's no end in sight. There's no peace to be had. The money shortage, all over the world. There's been this shortage, this economy collapse. And in the United States, we're not going to avoid it. We can print money, but it's not worth anything. Our money is crazy. The Depression hit, what was it, a dime for a meal? What do we pay now for a meal? And that's not because the economy is doing so much better. That's because they had to print more money. And when they print more money, things are worth more, but they're worth less. It's a weird thing to think about. But when you paid a dime for a meal before, now it costs $5. That only means that the meal isn't any more expensive, that our money is worthless. That's what it's meaning. So the economy collapse is coming. $1 trillion deficit plus, trillions, I should say, of deficit. And we think that we're going to balance the budget. If I work that way, which, I probably do sometimes, how long can my household stand if I overspend by thousands and millions of dollars? I can't do it. And the United States eventually will pay the price. Now, I may sound alarmist right now, and it may be a little scary, and it is. But believe me, that's what's going to come. Now, I don't know when the rapture will come, before that happens or a little bit after that happens. But one thing I do know, before the tribulation starts, we will be gone. Those who believe will be gone. The huge part of the collapse will happen when the rapture happens. Because think about it. Most of the workforce is going to be gone. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people gone. There's going to be a lot of planes crashing, a lot of vehicle crashes, a lot of other things happening. So it's going to be a horrible time. The apostasy in the church is growing. Right now, There's so many churches now that do not preach the gospel. So many churches that are knuckling under and starting to do what the world wants them to do, and not standing firm on what the gospel, what the Bible, what God's word tells us. There's a lot of churches just kind of, you know, saying whatever, itching, tickling ears, whatever they call that, you know, scratching back the people, just don't want to cause a ripple. And of course, society is pushing the church to do that. And say, what are you so narrow-minded for? Evil is celebrated. You know that happens because now evil is innocent. The people who are being attacked, they're the ones that are the problem. I found in England, not even just in the United States, but in England, there was a priest who was attacked by some Islamic extremists. He was attacked, beaten down. Guess who went to jail? The priest. Because he must have done something to make them angry. That's who went to jail. And he went to court because he must have done something, you know, that was hateful to them. And you look at America now, and remember, I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, that a preacher's sermons were subpoenaed by court because he was preaching things about, you know, abortion, homosexuality, you know, and things like that. And so his sermons were subpoenaed because they were going to charge him with hate crimes. See, that's what it's coming to. Evil is celebrated. We don't want to hear the truth. We want to celebrate. And the people who are up in court against real charges are being released. You see that too, don't you? You know, there's not even hardly a slap on the hand, and they're let go. I read in the paper not too long ago that some individual, the seventh time he was picked up for drunk driving, finally going to jail. What? Seven times? And over you hear those things, and I know you get sick and tired of hearing it yourself. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 14 just gives us a basic of what's going to happen. Look at 36 through 39 in 24. You can read the whole chapter, of course, but I'm just picking up certain scriptures because I want us to see certain things. Verses 36 through 39 says, "No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." What I want us to understand here is that it's not talking about wickedness necessarily. What it's talking about is that people are oblivious. They aren't thinking about it. In fact, in 1 Peter, 1 or 2 Peter, it says that there will be scoffers. You know, oh, when is the end coming? Come on. You know, it's been like this forever. You know, I mean, oh, and the Middle East has always been in turmoil. You know, and I'm not saying that September 23rd may be the day. But I am saying that we have a lot of things in place now that we've never had in place before. The electronic age is just unbelievably advancing. I saw, in fact, the silver ring thing. There was one of the guys had a watch that sent him emails that alerted to him to things that he needed to attend to, and he could do things on that watch. Apple is already introducing the new technology for a watch that will do everything. You know, just like your smartphones, the watch will do that. They're talking about glasses that will project things. I can just imagine driving down the road and all of a sudden this thing comes on. You know, they think texting and driving is bad, and all of a sudden, whoa, you got this whole thing. I need to talk to you about something, and you crash. You know, but the technology is advancing so much, they've already introduced the idea for those who are, you know, have dementia or mentally retarded or dogs or military men inserting chips into their arm or their foreheads or the back of their neck because it would have medical records, it would have addresses, personal information, all that that's needed to find their home, you know, because if they get lost, you know, and they're going to introduce that into babies, you know, to say, well, you know, the baby's born at what, who's, this kid could be kidnapped, you know, we've had that happen before, and this way, we could locate them GPS. You know, what a great thing that would be for the Antichrist, because he could locate anybody at any time. And so, the technology is there, the things are in place, the turmoil is here, the wars and rumors of wars, all the things are in place that need to be in place. You know, we don't know the day or the hour, but you know what? We can be aware of the signs of the times. We can know that, you know what? It's coming. I mean, I don't know when, but it's coming. So why are we to be aware of these things? I want us to look at verse 44 now. It says this, "All this, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." You know, I get ready for a lot of things. We all get ready for a lot of things. You know, we get ready for a test. We study hard and we cram and, you know, do all that stuff, get ready for a test. We you know, for driver's license or whatever it might be. We all get ready. We cram for those things. We prepare ourselves for disasters. We get life insurance, car insurance, house insurance, those kinds of things, property insurance, whatever it might be. Because, you know, if something happens, we want to be ready. But we know this is coming. I mean, all the signs are starting to line up. And it says here, you must be ready. So, that's the question. Are you ready? You know, if you're ready, it doesn't matter when He comes. Because I'm ready. You know, I remember my brother, you know, of course, he could sleep and get A's in class. But he would read the book. You know, he just had one of those memories. He could read the book, and he could pass any test. And so, he didn't worry about the test. He just read the book and then bring it on. Test comes, whatever. Me, I'm writing notes on my hand, and don't do that. But I'm trying everything I can to figure out how to pass the test. You know, but he was ready. He just didn't worry about it. And that's what we need to be. If we're ready, whether it's September 23rd or not, if we're ready, what does it matter if it's September 23rd or not? Because I'm ready. Bring it. You know, anytime. I'm ready. And that's the way we should be as Christians in this world. You know, and also, communion really is connected with this, because, you know, our mission is to spread the gospel. And, you know, people will listen or maybe not listen, but communion is tied in so much, because, let me read what it says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. It says this. It says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until what? Until He comes." Until He comes. And so, every time we take communion, we're recognizing that someday He's coming back. He's going to come back and take us to be with Him. That's our promise. That's the promise He gave us. That He's coming back again. John 14 tells us that. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back and bringing you to where I am." He says, "Because I want you to take that place that I'm preparing. I'm not making the place for you for nothing." I'm making a place for you because I want you to be there. And so the simplicity of what it's all about is trusting in Christ as your Savior. You know, it's so simple. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Make Him Lord of your life. Follow Him. Trust Him in every situation. You know, the prophecy said that some will fall away from the faith. Why? Because they don't trust Him. Because they're trusting something else. They see the world, they see the things going on in the world, and they go, oh my gosh, God's lost control. Maybe there isn't a God. They lose faith. But He's told us all about it. He told us all these things are going to happen. So all we have to do is get prepared for it, believe in Him, trust in Him, and then we don't have to worry about it. That's what I want us to do as we prepare our hearts for communion. I want us to bow our heads in prayer and prepare ourselves. And if you haven't asked Jesus in your heart, this is the prime time to do it. Because you don't want to be left behind. I'm telling you right now, you do not want to be left behind. So let's bow our heads.